Well, this concludes, for most of you, your first session of Pathfinder 2nd Edition. It was an exciting story. We all survived, which some said couldn't be done in a first level game. But I want to know how you felt about it. How did you enjoy the session? Pathfinder 2nd Edition, role-playing games, the story. What are some of your thoughts?
I say we start with Eleanor because she has the least experience. Yes.
Okay, very fun. I don't want to let Stabby go.
Oh.
Is like my main takeaway. Like, I don't want it to be over. I always like collaborating with people on anything. And so I enjoy this being like such a collaborative experience. I really liked it.
More numbers.
I also don't want to let Stabby go. You were so much fun as that insane character.
Thank you.
That was so cool.
Well, I know that one of your things with Stabby was that nobody takes you seriously and you didn't even have ranks in Intimidate. And then the first thing you do is this killer Intimidate role. And yeah. It's like, well, there goes everything we knew about Stabby.
I was kind of hoping my first one would flop. And then I was like, okay, well, Stabby would be pretty impressed with Stabby's self. So
hey, it finally worked.
Let the dice decide always.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing. I was like, they're going to think I'm cheating because I kept getting like really, really good rolls until like halfway through. And I was like, I like feel bad. I'm like, oh, 19. Like
I feel like when you cheat in RPGs by like telling another role, you actually cheat yourself.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
You get like a character plot twist with a missed role and it's so much fun to play too. Or like, well, I saw like, I'm barking on the wall and I got distracted and I fell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it plays into your character, which is as much fun as winning something.
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't think we've talked about this on the show, but let me say, I have a house rule as a GM, but I don't tell my players about it. If you want to cheat and I know you're going to cheat, I'm never going to call you out on it.
Wow.
This game is for fun and we're here to have a good time. And if that's your situation in life that, you know, you just need this to go better than the dice said, I want you to have it. If it becomes a problem, I'll mention it, you know, but I'm not going to say anything.
Like metagaming all the time?
Yeah, you know.
That's a cool rule.
Well, Megan, let's go with you next, because I think we're going from terms of least senior to in these games to maybe most.
Oh, well, I think this was my, like, fifth game of RPG total. So this was so much fun. I had so much fun. Like, I was super nervous at first, but then, like, got a vibe of all the characters and was like, okay, this is going to be pleasant. It's going to be a lot of fun. No, I don't know. I don't really have, like, many words. What are words? But it was just so much fun to, like, play off of everyone and everything.
I want nothing more than to give Davi a hug.
Yeah!
Love her so much.
She's a big teddy bear.
She is oh my gosh, she's such a fun character.
Oh, thank you. I actually love, like we talked about in session zero, but I love having like opposites. So she's this like huge scary thing, but she hates being scary. If it's not to like defend people.
Yeah.
And she gets super awkward when there are people around.
My favorite experience from watching you do Davi was watching you aid Stabby in the Intimidate and you just going, yeah, yeah, even still. But you role played it like your acting voice was so good that like we could still hear the self-consciousness in it. And that sold it. That was great.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Oh, I'm all gooey inside. Thank you.
So Megan, your previous gaming was with D&D?
Yeah, 5e.
Did you notice any differences in the gameplay? Like
Yeah, there are some differences. There is a difference with the will and reflex and fortitude saves. D&D 5e doesn't have that. It's mostly like a wisdom saving throw or like a constitution saving throw. They're more related to the abilities. And the actually like side abilities, like lore and stuff like that are a little bit different as well. And when you roll for initiative, it's not a perception. It's just an initiative roll that is based on dex mostly.
And how did you find the differences?
You find that it was just different, or you find more intuitive or better? Or I mean, certainly you played D&D more, so that's an unfair comparison, right?
Yeah. Well, I get what you're trying to, because the thing is, it's somewhat comparable. It's just played differently.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, like, it's like Pathfinder has a little bit more option to customize something the way you want it. So like, lore is not just history. It can be like, I have gladiator lore. So it's specific to who I am, and like the feats and everything can kind of like flesh out the character a bit more, customized. And like the will and reflex, it kind of makes more sense when you like, because a dexterity saving throw, yes, okay, but reflex, you also kind of like dodge out of the way as a reaction to something happening, so it makes more sense.
Would you believe that was that system of reflex, fortitude, and will was the staple of Dungeons and Dragons for what, 20 years? More than
was
that?
Was it like
years.
Until like 3.5 or something?
No, even in 3.5. Fourth had it too.
Okay.
Yeah, its fifth edition is the one that changed it, and Pathfinder kept that.
Okay. I don't know why they changed it though.
Well, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, because really it's not like a complaint or anything. It's just
different. You know.
Genuine curiosity. But I did enjoy both. Both had like that side of playing it differently. I feel like maybe D&D 5e is a little bit more vague.
Oh.
And like, you can interpret it the way you want, or like the DM can play it a certain way. And Pathfinder is a little bit more, you have every option possible, and here's what you're going to have for that like thing. So you don't really have to think as much. You just kind of like customize your character the way you want it, and then everything is done.
I did use the rule, put a wolf in a barrel. So, I mean, all the options are there.
Exactly. And then you have like your athletics, and then you roll that. But everything is kind of like laid out, but you can play with that.
Yeah.
Did we leave all those guys in those barrels?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm so proud of us.
But it's only been a few minutes. It's not like been in there for days, right?
I did specify with Luis that we did set the wolf free. I did not mention them because I don't care about them. But the wolf got set free. It is happy. It is pooping in the woods. It's chasing bunny rabbits. It's having a good time.
I love how you're like, I don't care about them, when at the very end we found out that all of these people were like
victims.
You say that, but we already were pretty sure that was the case, and it was like, we killed the Draxi and Stabby's like, well, there's still someone to stab.
Oh, sure. I mean, Stabby doesn't care, right. But Ellie feels kind of bad.
Full disclosure, those were probably humans. A lot of humans get what's coming to them.
Yeah, fair enough. But I feel like this group also, like, just kind of like a sidebar, this group was so much fun to play with. Like, you guys had such cool characters to play around with. Like, there's no one that I would like feel I would have an interaction with that would fall flat. It was just so much fun.
Well, and I think a lot of that credit goes to Ryan for just knowing how to put like really quality people together for, you know, for shows.
Oh, shucks. We're quality people.
Wait, did I say poor quality? Did I say that?
No. We are quality people.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Ryan, who's next? Who's going next?
Ryan's next.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, absolutely had a great time. And I think comparing the systems, so my former D&D group that I used to play with before the pandemic, we would bounce around from system to system. We rotated who got to GM, and when we changed GMs, they got to pick which system we did, and they ran a story arc, and it would be anywhere from, say, 3 months to, I think the longest time one person GM was 2 years. So we'd run a campaign, an adventure path, something like that, and switch to a new GM who would choose a new system. So I bounced around from system to system, and I found it really easy, quite intuitive to get into. I like the change of initiative not being its own skill, but you can base initiative off of stealth if you were stealthing, or intimidation if you were like, I'm intimidating and it's going to lead into combat or something. I thought that was a really neat change. Everything else, character creation was pretty easy. pretty straightforward. I really liked a lot of what they did. So overall, I'm pretty happy with the system, and I would definitely, if I had to choose between Pathfinder first edition, which I have a fair amount of experience in, and second edition, I'd say second edition is a lot more beginner friendly, but that's not saying that it's not just as friendly for someone who has a lot of experience and knows what they're doing with assembling characters and all that. Like, there's a lot less super granular math going on and a lot fewer things that you have to track. And it seems pretty straightforward, and that lends itself to being flexible and being able to let you do what you want to with your character in a way that, like, more granular systems can sometimes go, I don't have enough points to do this, and I don't have, I don't get the right bonuses to do that to actually fulfill my goals. So in terms of the system, I really liked it. And in terms of the group, you guys were a blast. I was dying laughing. I just had a great time.
I did, so, like, on Facebook, after I invited you to the game, you just kind of posted that it's like, oh, it's been a long time since I've been invited to a gaming podcast, which surprised me because I just know you as someone who was guesting on all the gaming podcasts for a while.
Yeah. Well, that kind of ended when I left the industry about 2 years ago. So I haven't really done much in that regard. I kind of have, like, my own YouTube channel now, but it's not. It's kind of gaming related, but it's not D&D related. It's Warhammer 40K.
Oh, okay. Yeah, make sure you link that to me.
Oh, absolutely. I will. Yeah.
I've got Saint Celestine back here. I've got a Valkyrie. I've got an Orc Daka Jet that I put an LED in. It's got a flickering candle as its engine.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm in the process.
I don't think I've seen that.
I'm in the process of putting a light kit into an Imperial Knight, but all that stuff's in storage right now.
So. I'll show you guys after we're done doing debriefs, because this is content.
Yeah. Yes.
So Gerg, tell me a little bit about Shirley, because I feel like I'm the only one who might not know who that is.
Oh, Shirley A. Strangefellow. My backstory idea was that I have the fortune teller background, and I learned fortune telling. That's why I do all the throwing the runes. And at one point when I learned fortune telling, a soothsayer came to our tribe and I asked him to tell me about me. And he looked at me and said, "You are surely a strange fellow." And I went, "Oh, okay. That must be who I am." So that's a person that Gerg is convinced he's the reincarnation of Shirley A. Strangefellow. So he goes around and when people ask him, he says, "Yes, and I am surely a strange fellow." And they'll say, yes, you are. And so, everyone must know who Shirley is because they all agree. So
I've never pieced it together until
now. Me neither.
I was super dumb. I swear I'm smart.
No. But I don't think any of us did. That was too well hidden.
It's so good.
Like, it's still funny.
Oh my gosh. You know, I heard that and I was like, I'm sure that's a previous character he's ran or something. But I wanted to ask because I was like, I know there's a good story there.
Yeah.
It was, I'm glad to not be
literally just there for the pun.
That's awesome.
You don't need any other reason.
No, you don't.
All right, Ryan, who's next?
Well, Stan.
Okay.
Good. Yes. I loved it. I had a good time. I agree with the... what Megan was saying about the differences between 5e and Pathfinder, and you know, also what Brian was saying about the difference between Pathfinder 1 and Pathfinder 2. It's more granular, but it feels more intentional, which it, you know, you get, right? You get Pathfinder 1 grew to be what it is. Pathfinder 2 has been taken that and sifted it and designed it from the start to be. It was great. I mean, this group was awesome. It was a whole lot of fun.
We had two rogues in the party, and they were very different.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a strength of the system, is that no two characters play the same. I mean, I was playing a straight-up fighter, but, like, she didn't act like a get-in-your-face-and-beat-people, you know?
She was more like a rogue, almost.
Yeah.
Wait, Laura, didn't you do rangery things?
Yeah, I did. My class is fighter. I did rangery things. That's right.
All right.
That's one of the strengths of the system. As an ancient elf who has lived a minimum of over 100 years, you're allowed to take a multi-class feat at first level for free. So my multi-class level was Ranger.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Because, and the way I do that is, like, her story is that she was, you know, part of this knight house. Since we had to be level one, she had to be, like, a squire of the knight house. But, you know, normally in my head canon, she's not a squire. So she's classically trained as a fighter, you know, like a knight would be. But then because of this, the story of having to escape the genocide of her house and, you know, live, she learned, you know, ranger stuff too over the course of her life. So fighter ranger. And that's what I like about the system, is that you can tell a story with your choices at character creation alone.
That's true.
Stan, when you were putting together the group shot, what were some of the things that was drawing inspiration to get the characters so characterful?
Well, I mean, I tried to key on the things that everyone said was important about them. So, you know, getting, make sure the hair was in the eyes. I don't know. And drawing a tiny little Christmas tree was just fun. But trying to figure out it's just done quickly, right? So this is all, these are like sketches, but trying to find a way to make a wolfy armor.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was really great.
It's already saved on my phone. Like, it's done. Like, it's on my phone forever.
I've got a framed picture here beside my office. You can't tell yet, but
Gerg was the hardest one because I got Gerg as a character. I just couldn't, it didn't happen quickly. It's like, I don't know. All right, guess I'm throwing a goblin.
Yeah, Ryan, I do want to debrief from you because you haven't played as much second edition.
Right. And I was playing a tricky class, and I think it was taking me a little while to figure out exactly how to get the most out of the alchemist. Probably not a class I would play long-term except to bring Spruce back, because he's a good time. It's fun, it's straightforward, and it's light. I like that about second edition first level. I like the Leshy, and I would definitely play a Leshy again. Probably less absurd of a Leshy, but for a one-shot, that was exactly what I was looking for.
And you did it pretty well. All of you all just did such a fantastic job.
So the Spruce you got towards the end of the episode was how I was picturing Spruce, that he was like deconstructing everything and just treating everything like it's an ingredient. But it really didn't come up until I finally grabbed that Draxi in a jar.
But I like how drastic of a character arc it was.
Yeah, yep. That was disconcerting. Oh, it was there
all along. You just didn't know.
Well, that's how evil is, you know.
I do notice we were not particularly heroic.
Nope.
No. In the end, for a cute group, this turns out, if you take, after you learn about them, you're like, these guys are pretty frightening. We got one homicidal maniac who wants to stab and burn everything. We've got a little tree to which everything is food or parts. We've got an ancient elf that really could kill all sentient humans except lupines. Anything's a dog, that's good. They need to be taken care of. We've got a hobgoblin who just wants to amass power, doesn't really care how that happens.
And a goblin who is a goblin.
And a goblin who's a goblin.
No, he's a goblin with a greater fate, and he's letting the spirits guide him through the rocks that he throws. I mean, just happened to be exactly about Stabby that one time.
That was so good.
We're the heroes. Yeah,
Brian and I had discussed it. I knew he had these elaborate lists. So when it was like skull, fire, and knife, I'm like, that destiny is actually stepping in here.
It was so canon.
This group kind of reminds me of the Birds of Prey movie, the live action one.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
It's so good. I definitely have to.
It's so good.
Of villains. It's a group of villains, but they're your heroes for the story. I think they tear it apart. This group played together for too long. In the world, we're definitely villains.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're heroes in all of our stories, but no one wants to see us coming to town. That's right. Yeah.
that's all we have for you tonight. Make sure you check out the rest of our content on the No Direction Network, because if you like this show or any of our other blogs and shows, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection, because it's the support of our patrons that make this all possible. Until next time. Oh, wait, that's Luis's line.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary.
And let's give a round of applause to our wonderful GM.
Oh, well. I was going to clap for the group. I was excited to clap for all of you.
Well, now we'll sit here and you clap for us, Luis.
Individually. That one was for Ryan.
No.